Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's the man, John Paxson. Grant gets the ball out to the right man at the right spot. And from the time it leaves his hand, it's perfect rotation on the basketball. He feels it. The team loves it.
Pax, when it left your hand, your thoughts? I mean, you had the stroke going, no doubt about it.
I don't know. I mean, that's instinct. You catch and you shoot. I've done it hundreds of thousands of times in my life. So I'm glad Chicago's got a third one. We're a city of champions.
Congratulations, John.
Bob, I appreciate it.
All right, we'll be back and we'll talk with Phil Jackson. Oh, wait, Michael has an additional thought. Go ahead.
This is for Jasmine, my sweet little daughter.
Who you with?
Happy birthday, Jazz.
And happy Father's Day to Michael Jordan.
The Chicago Bulls straight NBA championships. A three-point shot by John Paxson, the game winner.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, new in the afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I know that brings back a lot of memories for a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of really good ones. Man, 25 years have come and gone since that third Bulls championship. And as we've discussed, it's been fun this week reliving some of the Bulls title moments. And since Pax was the man in that 93 series against the Sun, and it was on Father's Day, and we got Father's topics, we got to get him on the show to talk about it. But John's probably wondering why we're not playing Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen listening to all that stuff.
I wasn't exactly the man.
Well, you were on that day. Come on. You can admit it.
No, that was if Barkley hadn't have made a defensive mistake and lunged at the ball when Michael threw to Scotty, that ball would never come to my side of the floor. So it's just the truth.
Well, my two favorite Bulls were involved in the most important part of the game, and that's you and Horace Grant. I don't know if anybody ever worked harder and got more out of his ability than Ho G did, but that made mine. That was my favorite title for that reason. And as I said about 10 minutes or so ago, Pax, one of the things I remember was the rally. When you talked about playing basketball in the yard with Ryan just a couple of weeks prior to that, and he said, wouldn't it be cool if you could hit a game-winning shot like that? And at the rally, Pack says, guess what, Ryan, I did.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, my boys at the time were just 3 and 6, Ryan being the oldest. And, you know how it is when you have those moments with your kids. And, you know, they, let's face it, when they're little, they think the world. They look up to you. You're their hero. And it was funny how that played out. And I can't believe it's been 25 years, since those first three titles. But what a great group of guys we had, and it was just a lot of fun.
You've had some cool jobs. You've been a world champion. You've coached, an assistant coach on a world champion team. You've broadcast, and now you're the boss of the Bulls. But has there ever been anything more satisfying on your resume than being a parent?
No, I think a lot of us feel that way. The one thing I've always talked about is, you know, just how much perspective that gives you. And, you know, I think all of us have different experiences as dads. And, I have two boys. I don't have any girls, so I only know that dynamic. But, my boys have given me a lot of joy. And the thing I'm most proud about with both of them is that they they've never felt like a sense of entitlement. They both work hard. They understand the value of what that means. So, sometimes you think you did some things right when that happens.
You know, when our kids become of majority age, one of the things that's very hard for a lot of us, especially fathers, is to accept our powerlessness over their decisions, because they can pretty much do whatever they want at that point. When Ryan wrote to you and Carolyn and announced his intentions, his conviction to serve our country, your reaction was pretty selfless, John. If I recall it correctly, what you said was, we were all in. it was just time to commit to this. When I think a lot of people might have felt like they wanted to talk their son out of it. Now, really, you don't want to go to Japan. You don't want to be in Afghanistan. Was that something that was easy for you, and did you have to work at it over the most difficult years?
Well, you know what? I didn't have this. This was 10 years ago, 2008, and he was a junior at Olivet Nazarene playing basketball, and it was February. He actually waited till the trade deadline ended to say something. He'd actually spoken to his mom weeks before, and you know they kind of kept me from him. But his exact words to us were, he goes, "Mom and Dad, you've given me everything. I want to go out and earn something on my own. I'm going to enlist in the Marine Corps." And how do you not admire that in a young person that you've raised? And you know, I didn't. You know, I was always one of those that you know respected and appreciated the military, but I didn't understand. And it's my own fault, but I didn't understand the commitment that first the person enlisting makes, and also the family that goes along with it. And it's truly a journey. And you know, a lot of young people stay in for, you know, the Marine Corps is a 4-year commitment initially, and you know, a lot of them serve the 4 years. And but Ryan's chosen to, you know, continue on, and it truly is a journey. Some of it is, you know, you have tense moments. You know, our son spent 2012 over in Afghanistan. He earned a combat action ribbon, which you know, people who know that means he, you know, he was in some, you know, some stuff that you know they don't tend to talk too much about. But you know, it's I'm incredibly proud of all the people that, all the young men and women that make this commitment to our country. People who aren't military families, I think they look on the outside and they don't truly grasp sometimes what that means, but it is a powerful thing.
John Paxson with us on The Score with McNeil and Parkins as we talk Father's Day and the joys of being a parent. Danny doesn't know that yet, but
Pax, not yet for me. One day soon, though, wife and I are starting to have those conversations. How did becoming a father change you? And then I would imagine it gave a whole different perspective when Ryan is serving overseas.
Yeah, well, you know, so my wife and I got married basically out of college, and we had our boys fairly early. And so the one thing that, you know, I was toward the end of my career when they could grasp me playing. So, but you know how it is. You know, you can have the worst day in your life, you know, no matter what job you're in, and you got young ones at home, you walk in the door, they don't care. And you walk in, and it's just Dad walking through the door, and that always does it. But, you know, I just was lucky, you know, in terms of, you know, sometimes, you know, you try to be a parent, you have to be tough sometimes when that's called for, and you hope that those things lead your kids to make the right decisions growing up, and all of them choose their own path, as we know. But you know, I think the one thing I always tried to do was be the parent, not the friend when they were younger. And what's really kind of evolved out of that is now that they are in their 20s and 30s, that's where it can become, you know, that's where the rewards of how you raise them really come into play, because you can deal with them more on the same level. And I've enjoyed that journey with my boys.
Pax, my oldest is, I think, 4 years younger than Ryan. And the most difficult thing I had to accept was his penchant for a motorcycle, a crotch rocket. And my favorite day of the year is when he stores it in my garage for the winter, because that means he's not going to be on it for 5 months. That's all I can relate to in terms of being out of touch or concerned at a very high level. There had to be some horribly sleepless nights on occasion when you were out of communication with Ryan.
Yeah, well, when he was in Afghanistan, those 10 months, so he was at a base in the middle of Afghanistan, and he was part of a security battalion that would go in caravans to what they called forward operating bases, places out, you know, in remote areas of Afghanistan where they needed supplies, things like that. And, you know, you'd have to go through villages. You know, there were always things that could crop up. And the tough part was when he was on the base, we could email him, you know, occasionally. But once he left the base and went out to these forward operating bases, that's where you had no communication. And those security details would sometimes, they were 2 or 3 days. Sometimes they were a week to 10 days, and you don't hear from them. And And again, it was a little bit after the time where things were really bad over there, but it was Afghanistan in a very unpredictable environment. But look, I'm not trying to sit here and say, you know, there are families that lost people over there. In fact, one of Ryan's friends was killed by a sniper when he was over there, and he still he's got a bracelet that he's worn every day since then that has the young man's name on it. So the people that are over there, a lot of them sacrificed a hell of a lot more than most, and that's the hard part. But that's what military families do. They understand what their young person has signed up for, and you know, as tough as it can be mentally, understanding those dynamics when they are overseas in war zones, you know why they're doing it, and you take great pride in why they're doing it.
So, Pax, when your son becomes a Marine, obviously that changes him. How did it change you?
You know what, I've always been. I'm pretty, especially in this position. You know, you live and die every day with, you know, what you're doing and the decisions you make. I've always tried to use things to give me perspective. That's given me the most perspective in my life, because first of all, I didn't see it coming, and second of all, I wasn't. You know, you get so locked into your lives and your jobs. He really forced me to look at it. That things a little bit differently, and that's not changed, because he's done some remarkable things in the Marine Corps. When he got out of Afghanistan, he reenlisted, went to Quantico, where he was on a security detail for what they call HMX-1. It's the helicopters that fly. Anytime you see the president come off a helicopter, there's a Marine there. He was part of security battalions that traveled when President Obama was in office. So he had that, which was a really remarkable and cool job to have. And then 3 years ago, he up and decided that, you know, he said, I don't know if I'm going to stay in, but I want to try one more thing in the Marine Corps, and I want to do the hardest thing there is. And so he went to drill instructor school, and he's 2 years into being a drill instructor down at Parris Island, South Carolina. And I don't know if you guys know anything about Marine Corps recruit training, but
only from the movies.
Well, Marine Corps recruit training is 3 months long. These drill instructors are there they're there every day. Their days are at least at Parris Island, the kids wake up at 4:00. The DIs are there 3:30. The kids go down at 8:00 that night, and the DIs, they're there. Most times they spend the night there, but sometimes they go home for a few hours. They basically for 3 months live off of 3, 4, or 5 hours of sleep a night, if that. And they train these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to become Marines, and it's not. It is hard training. The Marine Corps really does try to break an individual down to build them back up, because they, you know, in reality they're training them for combat, and they want that unit to really be there and together, and you know they want one Marine to look to his right and know that, you know, that person's got his back, and it's the same way all the way down the line. So he's chosen to go that route, and he takes great pride in training these young men to become Marines. And so again, you know, just the journey for us just keeps continuing, and we're so proud of what he's doing.
Yeah, and congratulations, and thank him on our behalf.
I sure will.
Yeah, and
I sure will.
You know,
and thank you for your candor on the subject.
Yeah,
as well.
It's been great, and you know, we're big among mailmen. Mailman Keith is always getting to us. His son recently was deployed, and he's going through some things you went through 10 years or so ago. So. This is particularly meaningful to him, but we can't let you get off the phone until I remind you that my partner here is still screaming for Michael Porter. If you have an opportunity,
I remember when we were on. I heard that. I did hear. We're you know what? It's 6 days away. We're still, you know, I love the process we have. This past week, we've had great dialogue about, you know, all the draft prospects. You know, we sit as a group. We watch film together. You know, it's you know, our scouts have opinions. We have opinions. It's really been a good dialogue in how we're going to go about this next Thursday night. And the thing that I'm confident of, and I've said this all along, is, you know, last year at the draft when we made the trade and we traded Jimmy and we got Zach and Chris Dunn back along with the pick and got Lowry in that deal. You know, we know we're going to add two more young players to this group. And when you think about it, you know, when Thursday night rolls around and we make our selections, we're going to have five young players in a year that we didn't have. And when you talk about rebuilding, that's a pretty significant jump on getting better. And now, of course, players are young, and I say it all the time, it's hard to win at a high level when you're young, but I'm confident we're going to get two guys that fit us, and we can keep building this thing. And you know, my hope is that, you know, much sooner rather than later, that we're going to put a team out there on the floor that our fans are going to like to see, and they're going to compete and play hard every night.
Pax, on Porter just quickly, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. You guys got to conduct the medical. Now all the teams have it. There was a pro day, and now it's pushed back to today. I saw him in Kansas City back in the day with Mokan when he was healthy, which is why I love the upside for him. Would you admit to him being at least a complicated prospect because we haven't seen him healthy for so long?
That's a good way of putting it. It really is. It is complicated because, you know, you know, where he was 2-3 years ago is not where he necessarily is today. I will tell you that his pro day, he moved great. You know, it was really good. But you guys know how this is. At this time of year, anybody who's talking about prospects is probably lying to you.
Right.
You know, because that's just the way the thing works. No one wants to tip their hand. But I actually like that description of him. It is complicated. And significant health issues are always a concern, and to that point of the physical, you know, he's a Mark Bartlestein client, and Mark's obviously based here in Chicago, and Mark has dealt with our medical people over the years with a lot of different players that we've had. You know, Taj Gibson is one of Mark's clients, so the reason that was done here is simply that we had nothing to do with it. It was simply you know, the fact that Mark and Michael were here, and they felt comfortable with our doctors doing the physical.
And then the other thing that Bulls fans, it's dominated conversation, was the Sun-Times report. They quoted multiple sources last week that said the coaching staff and your front office have, quote, been less than impressed with Chris Dunn's work habits so far in the offseason, end quote.
Not accurate. It's really not. And I'll tell you, I don't think I've said this, you know, but I want to make the point and why this is, you know, it's so difficult for us to kind of, you know, read things like this is, you know, last year when Chris, he was hurt early in the season. And so he wasn't active on our roster. And he was late for something. And the way we addressed that was we brought Chris, Gar and I brought Chris up to our office along with Fred. We had his representatives in, and we said, Chris Dunn, this is not the way it works. And for you to have success here and for you to play for us, we don't tolerate things like being late or not showing up, for those type of things. We sat him down, and he was terrific from that point on. And so Gar and I told him this weekend, look, if we had a problem with you, you've seen how we address it. We would talk to you directly, which we hadn't done. So Chris is a good young man, and he's working very hard. Here's the thing. The reality in this thing now is, you know, ideally you would love to have all your players in your own building over the summer working. Now, we have a handful of guys in here now, but you know what? It's just not the way it works all the time now. Players have – their agents are very connected to them. Their agents have a lot of workout people that, you know, contract out for them. And so the players tend to go to those type of things. And, you know, it's our job to try to, you know, create a perfect environment for them and, you know, where, you know, to work out. But, you know, some guys just, you know, have different ways of doing things. So, you know, in this case, you know, Zach has been out. Zach's always trained with his dad. So Zach's been out in you know, Washington training with his dad most of the summer, but we keep tabs on him and know he's working hard. Same goes for like Chris Dunn, Denzel, who's been in our building a lot the last few years. He's in his third year. He's been out in L.A. working, but we know he's working hard. So my point is that, you know, in a perfect world, you'd love to have everybody in your own building all summer long, but that's just not the way it's always going to work nowadays. So we have great hopes for Chris. He was a big part of that trade we made last summer, and we think he's going to make a real step this coming season.
John Paxson with us on the McNeil and Parkin Show. Pax, thank you very much again for the candor and the time, and have a happy Father's Day.
Hey, I appreciate. You know what? First of all, it's very rare you get an opportunity to speak about something, you know, like I do, about other than basketball. And the fact that you've asked me about my son, there's probably some listeners who've heard me before mention those things, you know, in passing. But it's really been important to me. The Marine Corps, in particular, the military, it's something that like I said, it's these people make such a sacrifice, and I oftentimes don't think people really grasp what that means. So to all the families out there who might be listening that have someone in the military serving this country, especially the dads that are out there, congratulations, God bless you, and thank your kids for the service they've given us.
John, very, very nice. Thank you so much.
You
Happy Father's Day.
All right, thanks. You too, Dan.
Take care, Pax.
Bye-bye.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.